Welcome, everyone, to our Super Bowl special, our pregame special today. This is the RF Sports Radio Show coming to you live from Dallas-Fort Worth, live for the home of Super Bowl XLV, that's Super Bowl 45. We got so much to talk about. We're going to talk about breaking down the game against the Green Bay Packers and the Pittsburgh Steelers. We're getting to everything from the wide receivers to the running game to the coaches, and you get to hear our picks and find out why we think our teams are going to win today. This is a great, great show. We're glad everyone tuned in. I want to welcome everyone to our city, Dallas-Fort Worth. I know you guys have been waiting to hear from us all week long. And as you guys know, inclement weather has been the big story here. But it's sunny. It cleared up yesterday. It's sunny today. So let's definitely get our show started here. Let me bring on my co-host, Royce. Royce, how you doing today, man?
Hey, Rodney, what's going on? Super Sunday, man. I got on yellow socks, black pants, and a green shirt. I think I'm ready for the Super Bowl. What do you think?
Yeah, it looks like you're going with a little bit of everybody there.
There you go. So I'm set to go, whoever wins. How you doing today, Rodney?
I'm doing great. This is Super Bowl Sunday. We actually started our show the first week of the NFL season. This is kind of a milestone for us. Our first Super Bowl happens to be the Super Bowl that's in our backyard. So we're feeling definitely good about that. We've had a chance to get out and about and see a lot of stuff going on this week. And today is just a big day, not just for our show, but also for everyone from Dallas-Fort Worth to have a Super Bowl hosted here right down the street in Arlington is huge. So we want to give everyone a great breakdown and analysis of the Super Bowl and also a taste of our show, especially if you're out of town and listening to us for the first time. To stay in contact with our show is really easy. Go to our website, rfsportsradio.com, or go to iTunes and look for RF Sports Radio and download the show and subscribe. That way you can have it delivered to your PC or whatever iTunes device you might have, iPad or iPhone. And then if you want to just keep in contact with us, follow us on Twitter. Go to twitter.com/RF Sports Radio or email the show at any time at rfsportsradio@gmail.com. And you can definitely stay in contact with us there. If you listen to us live, we do our live show every week, actually, every day of the week, 5 days a week. And our live show, the way that reaches there is to call in, and you want to call 323-927-2906 on the live show, and you guys can reach us there without a problem. So let's definitely get the show started. Before we get started, let me introduce another host of the show here. Let me bring Rick on. Rick, how you doing, man?
Man, I'm good. RF, happy Super Bowl Sunday.
What's going on, Royce, man?
I heard you had a little accident, man. How you feeling?
Listen, they should change this to the ice bowl, because this has definitely been the ice week. And I tell you, I'm a victim of this ice. I slipped and fell the other day, man, affecting my foot on the ice. So this definitely is the ice bowl this week.
Yeah.
Man.
Yes,
it sure is pretty today, though.
I'm telling you, it's football weather time. It's ready to go.
Yeah. One thing good about this game, it could snow, it could rain, sleet, anything outside, but the game would not be affected because it's in one of the largest domes ever, you know, to see a football. And you know there are more people that's going to be in the stadium today than there are in the city of Green Bay. It's 101,000 in Green Bay, and over 110,000 people will be in the game today. Isn't that something?
Wow, that's huge. And that's the house that Jerry built. Jerry Wood's been a topic of discussion all week long. Before we jump into the game, let's hit a couple of quick top stories here going on in sports, get everyone up to date before we get into Super Bowl talk. A story that we've been following is about this Carmelo thing. We're not going to get into too much detail about it. We've had several shows talking about the Melo deal, but apparently the Nuggets and the Knicks are now in talks to get a deal done. I thought we all thought this was going to happen sooner or later with the trade deadline coming February 24th, I believe. They got to get something done pretty fast. No surprises there. Am I right, fellas? I mean, Ricky, you pretty much knew he was going to go to New York, right?
Yeah, that was my feeling pretty much all along, you know. I think the Nuggets was just kind of out there putting out some fillers, seeing what they can get from everybody else, you know, and also keeping their name in the media, you know, so they pretty much did a good job with that. But looks like it's about to go down, though.
Yeah, looks like it's about to go down. They're getting really, really close to making that thing work. In other basketball news as well, the Mavs have been on a nice little win streak as of late. And they'll be back in town on Monday, tomorrow. And I can't remember who they're playing tomorrow, but they'll be back in town tomorrow. And we'll be at the game, but we are also going to have an exclusive interview with Peja Stojanović that we'll be playing tomorrow as well, too, talking about him joining the team. And he's supposed to make his debut tomorrow. Are you guys thinking he's going to come back tomorrow, Royce?
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it. But I tell you what, this team's been clicking with him. If he comes on and just plays his game, it'd be a great addition, man. Great addition.
And Rick, you were saying?
Oh, I absolutely agree, man. Hey, the Mavs have been really clicking, and they've been on a roll. But, you know, you have to be excited just to see what Peja Stojanović could bring to the table. Maybe he can get him another scoring option. Don't really look like they need it right now. They keep shooting the way they've been shooting. Let's see what he can do.
Yeah, and we have a direct partnership with the Mavs. We cover the Mavs a lot. If you want to find any information out about the Mavs, go to DallasMavsBlog.com. You can stay in contact with them. And even their Peja Stojanović interview is there on the website for you to find to follow before we play it live on the air. So for all your Mavericks news or even anything you want to know about the NBA, follow us at RFSportsRadio.com or DallasMavsBlog.com as well, too, and you can catch up on our coverage of the Mavs. Let's jump into a couple of NFL talk before we get to the big game. Another big topic this week, other than the weather, other than Jerry's World and him showing out his stadium to the world, and that's been the collective bargaining agreement. And the owners and the Players Association had a big meeting on Saturday to try to get something done as quick as possible. Roger Goodell had his State of the NFL address actually on Friday. And what interesting thing I saw at this address is he got up there, he talked about the whole collective bargaining agreement, wanted to get something done really, really quick. And there was a player in the crowd that had a question for him, and that was Ocho Cinco. Well, he's going to change his name back to Johnson, but that was Chad Ocho Cinco. Stood up in front of all these reporters and all these media guys and asked a straightforward, simple question. He basically said, in so many words, you know, cut all the crap, cut all the BS, all the media talk. What is going to happen? How far are we away from getting a deal done, one way or the other? And he danced around the question because, honestly, I don't think he really knows how far they are away. They haven't met since November, and now they're trying to get something done before the March 4th deadline, which is the start of the new season. And I don't think they really know how far away they are from everything. I know the issues have been talked about in the media and in the public for so long, but it seems like the biggest hang-up is this 18-game schedule. It's got to be the benefits for players for playing 18 games. You know, but, Royce, we talked about this before. You know, how far are they getting the deal done, and will we have football next year?
You know, right now, I hope they get it worked out. I think that miles apart. But I think it's going to fall back on the players or what they wouldn't accept what the owners offer, because my understanding is each team has saved $10 million from funding the 401k for the player this year, and they have a total of $300 million slush fund sitting on the side just in case the season don't start. I don't think the players had that option, but I hope they work this thing out. I mean, it's a bad day to talk about this Super Bowl. I'm going to worry about it after the Super Bowl, but I think it's leaning more toward the owner's advantage. So I hope they work it out.
And, see, you know, and the thing is, even Jerry talked about in his interviews with the press this week is the whole reason for building a stadium that size and that big is to promote the NFL. And they can't do anything with the stadiums like that or even the ones they're building all over the country, the new one in New York, the new Meadowlands, the host of next year's Super Bowl in Indianapolis.
Right.
They can't have these large stadiums without having some kind of product out there, which has got to be NFL. So who's at the advantage here? Is it the owners that have the advantage, Rick, or is it the players? I mean, they're the ones that have they are the product.
Well, I mean, the players are the product, you know, but the owners, you know, in my mind, are going to always have the advantage. They're the ones got all the money, you know, and Goodell, you know, is supposed to be somewhat of a neutral party, you know, but he's going to always side with the owners because that's the business, you know. So I think the players would have a good shot of getting a good deal worked out, but, you know, the players are going to give up a whole lot more than the owners, so I can bet you that.
Yeah.
And you know, the NFL is, they're talking about putting a team in London. They're ready to expand the NFL and go global. But, you know, you can't have an expansion unless they work out agreement, you know, and even go to an 18-game schedule.
Yeah, you know, and the owners, they're being smart about it, but at the same time, just like you guys mentioned, they know, you know, you can't sell nothing, you know what I mean? So you got to get the players back out there some way, somehow, you know. I don't think, I'm sure it's going to be football next year. Now, my question is actually, when will it be? You know, are they going to go ahead and drag this thing out, you know, but, you know, as a fan, you know, and as a person that observed the sport, you know, you want to get all of the off-season stuff going. You know, you want to be a part of that. You want to see what's going on. You want to see the build-up, and that might be, you know, what takes the biggest hit.
Yeah, and then like you guys have been mentioning before, when will the season start is a great question. They actually had this this happened once before. It got moved to the midnight hour, and they pushed the deadline back a few weeks after March 4th, which is supposed to signal the start of the new season. They pushed it back once before to try to get things done in an effort to get a full season in. So I think they may be added to that again, trying to push it back maybe a couple of months so they can start the season a little bit later, but still we'll have all the football that we want to have. Because the problem right now is if you draft a guy, you can't get him in the training camp. You can't bring him into the team. You can't show him any plays. You can't do anything. So it's going to be
thinking about boycotting the combine, too.
Yeah, right. I've heard that.
And, you know,
I've heard that.
It's so much money involved in football, you know, TV revenue, player salary, you know what I mean, stadiums, that it's going to happen. Even as bad as the economy got, football still, thrived. So I think it's too much money to let sit on the table. So something's going to happen.
Yeah.
And, you know, this could definitely be a smokescreen, but one of the most positive things that I've seen that come out, you know, of the whole week and as far as the collective bargaining agreement was that, you know, they did get a chance to meet, although it was only for a couple of hours. But when they put out a statement, they put out a joint statement versus it being an owner statement as opposed to the player statement. You know what I mean? They put out a joint statement and said, look, this is what we're trying to do. And that could be a small thing, but if people really look into that, that could be a positive thing for them.
Yeah, and I think Jerry Jones had the best comment from any owner that I've heard. He's actually head of the owners committee and the host for the meeting and also for the Super Bowl as well. And he basically said the only reason we have deadlines is because that's the only way deals get done. If you don't have a deadline, you don't have nothing to work towards, nothing to scare people to get to the table. So I thought he had the best comment on that. With that deadline, they got to get something done pretty fast. Let's jump into some other NFL news real quick. The Hall of Fame selections have come down.
Yeah.
And we do got a local guy that's going in. Deion Sanders will be inducted to the Hall of Fame. Mr. Primetime, a Dallas resident here. Also, Marshall Faulk will go in. Shannon Sharp, Richard Dent, Ed Sable, the head of NFL Films, the creator of NFL Films, Les Richter, and Chris Hamburger. We're going there as well. So what do you guys think about the list? I mean, some of the guys didn't make it in, but what about the guys that made it? Deion, Marshall, Faulk, Shannon Sharp, Richard Dent. These guys are all deserving. I think you would agree, Royce.
Yeah, absolutely, Rodney. All these guys, and, you know, hats off to Deion. He's one of my favorite players. You know, he came up to turn prime time. But, you know, they were talking about the guy from NFL Films going in and took away a football player's spot. And I got to say they need to have two categories. People that's in football, whether it be announcers, coaches, general managers, should be one category. And players should be another. And it should be a committee that picks both. And that way nobody's left off the list because everybody on the list deserves to be in there.
And that's a good point because some of the guys that didn't make it, Rick, Curtis Martin, DeMonte Dawson, Cortez Kennedy, Andre Reed, Willie Rolfe. I mean, here's the thing about Ed Sable. You could write everything you want to about the NFL, but you couldn't see it if it wasn't for him.
Right.
This guy was a car salesman, had a camera, and recorded the first championship game, and from then on went on to make NFL Films, what we know it to be today. But that's a good point, though, Rick. I mean, he did take up a player's spot. Some of these players – you know, definitely should get in there. Curtis Martin, Andre Reed, too, for example. But do you think they should have a separate category for executives, GMs, guys like
that,
you?
Coaches. That's a really good point and a good idea. You know, that should be something that they should look into doing. You know, I doubt that they will, but it makes sense. You know, because you do have players, you know, like Willie Rolfe, you know, who didn't get to make it in, and Curtis Martin who didn't make it in. So, you know, I agree totally. But when you speak in terms of the guys that did make it in this year, you know, Deion Sanders and Marshall Faulk, you know, and Shannon Sharpe, just look at, you know, the things that these guys have done over their careers. You know, how many players can you name, you know, that were better than these particular players at their respective positions, you know? So these guys are very, very deserving of getting in there.
Yeah. And Marshall Faulk actually is top of the list with 3 Offensive Player of the Year awards in the NFL. He's equal to Earl Campbell, has 1 more than Barry Sanders and 2 more than Marcus Allen. And all those other guys are in the Hall of Fame, so I think he's definitely deserving of getting in there. What about a guy like Curtis Martin? I mean, how long do you think it is before he gets in? He's kind of like, to me, he's kind of on that edge. I know he had some great seasons with the Jets, but, you know, his numbers are good, but he isn't. He's not really
right.
When they talk about greatest running backs of all time, you know, Curtis Martin's not necessarily always in the conversation.
Right.
So how long before a guy like him gets in, Royce?
You know, Ryan, that's a good question. You know, there are good players and great players. And it'll never be fair. If your name comes up, whether you're a good player or a great player, you always think you deserve to be in. So it'll never be fair. There'll be guys that won't get in there. You know, so, and that's the bad thing about it. You can't put everybody in the Hall of Fame. But everybody that's played, you know, think they deserve to be in there. So, I don't know. It's a fine line. But the guys that went, I mean, they deserve. The guys that didn't go, they deserve to.
Yeah, I agree. And even a guy like Andre Reed, Rick, he went to 3 back-to-back Super Bowls with the Bills. You know, what about a guy like that? How long before he gets in, Rick?
Well, I mean, it can't be too long because when you look in terms of yardage and you know, receptions, you know, Andre Reed is amongst the best of them. I mean, the numbers show, you know, and same thing for Curtis Martin. You know, he's got to be in top 10 in terms of yardage gain, you know, and he deserves to get in there. But just like Roy said, it's not going to be fair. Everybody can't make it. You know, they're only going to take so many. You know, the bad part about it is you only get so many chances, you know, there's only so many tries you get to come up, and if you don't make it within that number, then, you know, so be it. You're just not in the Hall of Fame, and that's not real good.
Yeah, I agree with you guys in there. But congratulations to all the guys that made it, Deion, Marshall Faulk, everyone that made it to the Hall of Fame. They'll be inducted, of course, right before the beginning of the season. But Deion has really been boasting about his thing. He had a Hall of Fame party before he even got announced. So he must be getting it, Rick.
But everybody knew that Deion Sanders was going to go in. If you watch football, you know, you knew he was going to go in. And have you ever seen a player, you know, get out on the field and, you know, pretty much dominate a game off of reputation alone? You know, as much as Deion did. A lot of times, you know, you wouldn't even know what would happen over there. Just, you know, quarterbacks just didn't want to throw that way because it was always that chance that not only will he catch it, he'll also take it back and start dancing on us. And they didn't want to see that, man. Deion was one of the best to do it.
Yeah, he was. I agree 100%. Let's take a quick commercial break, guys. When we come back, we'll get started on the biggest game of the season, the biggest game in the city, the biggest game at hand in Super Bowl XLV. We'll be right back on the RF Sports Radio Show, where we do sports from a fan's perspective.
Calling all models. Calling all actors. All music artists. Calling all comedians and producers. I got a question for you. Have you been having trouble finding gigs, and not just gigs, but paid gigs? Well, if that's you, look no further. Okay. We've got the perfect solution for your problem. Go to WeBookGigs.info right now.
Okay.
Sign up and create your profile. And let me tell you what you're going to get. You're going to get updates about shows and paid gigs sent directly to your personal Twitter, Facebook, email, and your phone. Now, the best thing about WeBookGigs.info is it's absolutely no cost to sign up.
That.
So what are you waiting for? Don't delay. WeBookGigs.info right now.
Super
Super Bowl is coming. Don't miss a chance for your business, product, service, or website to reach thousands of sports fans from around the world that will be coming to our backyard in Dallas-Fort Worth. We have several Super Bowl shows and appearances planned for the biggest evening in sports. We have street teams available to get your message in the hands of sports fans. Don't miss out on reduced advertising rates for more bang for your buck. Email rfsportsradio@gmail.com. That's rfsportsradio@gmail.com. See you at the Super Bowl.
It's finally over. The new release from Rifleman, Smoke in the City, available now. Album features Blow Fly, Mayhem, Kenfo Jack, and the Grit Boys, with many, many other. Also features production from super producer none other than Big Crit. Available now at all of your favorite online retailers, iTunes, Amazon, Napster, Rhapsody, 7 Digital, E-Music, and every other major online retailer that you can think of. Don't wait. Go pick up Smoke in the City now. It's blazing. It's blazing.
Might lose your mirror because you don't know where the other side of a drug deal. I live through that. Christmas gifts at the pawn shop.
Tax time is coming, and you know you want your rapid refund as quick as possible. Call On Time Tax Services at 214-431-7853. That's 214-431-7853. Mention RF Sports Radio and get half off on your preparation fees. Call On Time Tax Services, 214-431-7853, to get your rapid refund on time.
And that was Charles Woodson getting his troops all pumped up after that NFC Championship game. He said the president don't want to watch the Super Bowl or come to the Super Bowl since the Bears ain't in it. We'll just have to go see him when we win it. So I thought that was pretty cool. Let's set the stage here for the Super Bowl guys, Super Bowl XLV, right here in our city in Dallas-Fort Worth at Jerry World at the Cowboys Stadium. Let's talk a little bit about the game before it kicks off at 5:29 today on Fox. And let's get to the matchups that we're going to have to go over, of course. Let's start with the trenches. As we guys, and we all know, the games are won and lost right there in the trenches. And there's some story headlines about these trenches and about the battles coming up, mainly the fact that the offensive line for the Steelers, they've got four guys on the line right now that are going to be guys that did not start the season. Of course, they're going to be missing their starting center, Marquise Pouncey. He's a rookie, but he played very, very well this season. And, of course, when he went out in the championship game, they brought the other guy in. They had a fumble in the end zone for safety. So they've had their problems. Now, he's got to go up against guys like B.J. Raji. He's got to read the defense and give them the blocking schemes. So, Royce, what do you think about this offensive line for the Steelers, especially with, you know, the center being out?
Well, I think that's going to be their weakness with Pouncey being out. I mean, the guy was played Pro Bowl status all year. And then you got to watch out for Woodson on the end. The starting Pouncey was the guy to point out when they had the blitz. I mean, he had to tell the line, rest of the line who to block and who to watch for. So I really think that's going to hurt them and the running game. Because if Pittsburgh doesn't run the ball, they're going to turn into a passing team.
Yeah. Especially with Pouncey getting out and also, Rick, with one of our ex-Cowboys returning, Flozell Adams, playing on that tackle. I mean, he's coming back. It's kind of like the revenge of Flozell. We cut him. Here he is. He drops down. You know, he cuts his offside penalties in half, his penalties in half, and then he comes back and plays the Super Bowl game in Dallas. So it's kind of like the revenge of Flozell. But what about this offensive line for the Steelers? I mean, with Pouncey being out and Flozell at the end.
I mean, you know, for one, congratulations to Flozell. You know, I'm glad he got a chance to get off in there. Unfortunately, he wasn't able to do it here. But when you talk about the Pittsburgh Steelers line, you know, really, I think they'll be fine. You know, I think they have a coach that demands excellence, and those guys will be all right out there. You know, I think the most important spot is the center spot. That's where they'll be hurting at the most. But I think they'll be able to pull it through. They're going to have to deal with Big Raji, though, coming through the middle. and have to deal with that. And Clay Matthews. You mentioned Charles Woodson, but don't forget about Clay Matthews, man. That boy is a beast coming up in there. So Steelers got their work cut out for him, man, but I think they line will be all right.
So if you look at the offensive line,
I think Green Bay's on the blitz.
If you look at the offensive line versus the defensive line, I mean, Rick, who do you give the nod to? You give the nod to, you know, the defensive line of the Packers, the defensive line of the Steelers, which is a great defensive line. They're one of the best-ranked defenses out there, next to Green Bay of all people. But if you had to give that nod to one team over the other when it comes to the battle in the trenches, taking into account all the injuries and what they're going to have to deal with, even from the linebackers, I mean, who are you going to give the nod to in that situation?
I mean, when you look at it in terms of both sides of the ball, you know, I would lean towards giving it to the Steelers. You know, I think the Steelers, you know, bring just a little bit more as far as their pass rush is concerned, especially when you bring the linebackers into it. You know, I think the Steelers, you know, I give them the upper hand in this. And that's not to take anything away from Green Bay, because Green Bay is, you know, can put it on them. You know, I just think the Steelers will be able to pull it out. I get a nod to them.
And, Royce, if you had to look at both sides of the ball and look at both positions, you know, from the defense going against the offense and the matchups that will be involved, who do you have to give the offensive line and defensive line to?
Well, right now I got to give an offensive line advantage to the Green Bay because of the injury to Pittsburgh. But I think it's going to come down. I think both lines are about the same, equal, the offense and defense. But, like I said, I got to get a nod to Pittsburgh. I think it's going to come up to the linebackers. And, you know, both of them have great linebackers. And it's how these linebackers play. They start to run, drop back on passes, and come in on the blitz. So I think it's going to be up to the linebackers more so than the line.
That's a good point. If I had to look at
it. I think the Steelers have more linebackers, you know?
Right, that's true.
They have that option where, and I was going to mention that, the option where they can interchange parts a lot more easier than the Green Bay Packers do. But not taking anything away from the Packers, because the Packers have got the number one rated defense in the NFL right now.
Right.
If I had to look at both sides of the ball, defensive line and offensive line, I've got to honestly give the nod to the Packers because I like the way their offensive line is gelled. They started out the season really rough, you know, and plus you got a scrambling quarterback back there that helps out a lot, you know, in your blocking schemes and if guys get free. But then their defensive line for the Green Bay Packers, the way they kind of controlled that offensive line of the Bears, I was really impressed by that. B.J. Rodgers, that's the guy who plays nose tackle that got an interception for a touchdown. So I got to give the nod to them. You know, I like what they're doing in the trenches. I think they'll definitely win that battle. Now, we talked about the trenches, and Royce, you hinted around to the running game, so let's talk about that next. The Pittsburgh Steelers are one of those teams that kind of run because they need to run. They're a run-first type of team. They run to move the chains. And the Packers are more of a run team. Although they're missing Ryan Grant, their starting running back, they did find a kind of lightning in the bottle with Stark. You know, during the playoffs, they run the ball a lot better during the playoffs. But they actually run the ball more so to set up the play-action pass, not necessarily to move the chains. So, Rick, if you look at both of those two aspects there, I mean, whose running game do you think is going to be successful, number one, and which one you think is going to be the better running game?
Without question, I think Pittsburgh has the better running game, you know. But, you know, the story goes, you know, you got to be able to get out there and run the ball and control the game with the run game, and that's what Pittsburgh is used to doing. You know, if Green Bay is able to stop the run and turn Pittsburgh into a passing team, Green Bay will have a whole lot better chance of winning this game.
All right. I agree with Rick. You know, you're absolutely right. But it's also going to be whose linebackers can stop the running game. I mean, if you can't, whoever can get 5 yards on first down would have a better running game. That's to me. That's my opinion.
Yeah. Yeah. And with the way these linebackers play, I mean, it's almost, you know, you got to, if you get to the linebackers, then you kind of had a success, you know, running the ball. If you get to the secondary, then that's going to be a big game for you either way. But my thing is like this. I think the Pittsburgh Steelers have to be successful on the run game for the offense to work.
Right.
You know, they have to, but the Packers don't necessarily have to. So, the pressure's on Pittsburgh to make sure they have a great running game, not so much on the Packers. So, Rick, do you think that's going to play a role? Because all the Packers have to do is call enough running plays to make the play action work. So, when you get there or not, because they don't have to have all the pressure.
I think that, I mean, that's going to count. You know, that's where Green Bay advantage will be. You know, the only problem is, you know, Pittsburgh's secondary is okay. They just have Troy Polamalu back there who just makes all the difference in the world. You know, but the advantage goes to the Packers in terms of the passing game. You know, I think Aaron Rodgers, not to take anything away from Ben, I think Aaron Rodgers is just a better quarterback right now, or at least he's playing like a better quarterback right now. You know what I mean? I would have to lean towards Ben because of the experience alone he's been here. You know, but Aaron Rodgers, without question, he's putting up the numbers, he's making the right choices, and he's got receivers to go to, too.
Yeah, true. Well, let's jump into receivers because that was my next point. I mean, these receiving corps for the Green Bay Packers has been great. I mean, they've been some of the best receivers in the league this year. I mean, if you talk about veteran guys like Donald Driver, the speed receivers, you know, you got James Jones, you've got Greg Jennings. You got so many different options on the receiving end, even though they lost their top tight end this season. But on the other side of the ball, I mean, you got a speed guy like Mike Wallace. You got a possession guy like Hines Ward. So you got Randall Leo back there who can actually throw the ball, run the ball, so he can always be an offensive threat in a game like this. But I've got to give the nod to the Packers on the receiving corps. The way I've seen them play, those receivers that they have, I mean, you got to give the nod to them. Am I right, Royce?
Well, one thing you say about these two teams, they've never been short on receivers. They've always had great receivers. I can go all the way back to Lynn Swan and Shannon Sharp. Before the nod, I got to give it to Packers because these guys can catch anything Aaron Rodgers can throw. And, you know, you can say the same for Green Bay. I mean, I'm sorry, for Pittsburgh. But I got to get a nod to Green Bay, though. Neither one of these teams have never been short on receivers.
Yeah, Rick, if you look at the receiving core for both of these teams, who are you giving the nod to?
I think Mike Wallace has been a pleasant surprise for the Pittsburgh Steelers. Hines Ward, he's consistent as usual. You know, he's always been one of the better receivers in the league. But when you talk about the collection, you know, of receivers that the team has, I would have to give it to Green Bay. Green Bay has got a collection out there. You know, they got Donald Driver, who's a veteran receiver. You know, great job to him finally get to play in the Super Bowl. You know, and if I have Greg Jennings, you know, they got some pretty good receivers out there. And it's a number of them. They can go four deep if they need to.
Yeah,
you know, we can't forget about the tight ends. That Heath Miller, to the tight end play.
Yeah, he's got Heath Miller, which is a big target for Ben. But on the adverse side of the receivers, we know that the Packers got a better collective receiving core. We all agree on that. But if you look at the secondary for both of these teams, now this is a harder matchup for me because on the secondary, you got Charles Woodson, the guy that won the NFL defensive MVP last year. Plus, you got Tremont Williams, the way he's been playing in the playoffs is unbelievable with all the picks he's had to end games. And then on the other side of the ball, you always got Troy Polamalu floating around out there in space, especially on passing downs, delivering hits, and going straight for the ball. He's not looking to defend anybody. He wants the interception and wants the turnover. So if you look at both of these teams on the secondary side, Rick, who do you have to give the nod to there?
Man, that is real tough. Collectively, though, I'd have to give it to the Packers, you know, because I just think they have a number of guys. But, you know, when you talk about individual performance, when you got a guy like Troy Polamalu, plays safety, plays rover back, and he can come up and fill in a linebacker spot if you need him to, man. And he blitz really well. He covers. You know, I would have to give it to him individually. But as a collection, it would have to go to the Packers.
Yeah, I see what you're saying.
And that says a lot when the Packers has a guy named Charles Woodson over there.
Right.
Yeah, I know. And I think I have to give it to the Pack, too, because, like you said, collective, the way they play, the way they put their cloud defense on and kind of, you know, play zone, even with the linebackers like Clay Matthews and A.J. Hawk getting out there in coverage on the tight ends, I think they had the advantage there. But Troy Polamalu is just like that X factor on defense. He's like that one guy that could change the game. And I think that the Packers have two guys on their defense that could change the game, and that's Clay Matthews and Charles Woodson. That's why I had to give the nod to them in that secondary when it comes to defending against those wide receivers, especially against the Pittsburgh wide receivers, because I think they can play deep on Mike Wallace. I think they can play up close and get a chance to put a hat on Heath Miller when the time comes. Well, Royce, if you look at both secondaries, who do you like in this one?
I got to give it to Green Bay, but you got to think both of these. I would hate to throw against either one of these teams, because both of them are secondary is so good. And you got to look at the matchup for the receivers. You know, we talked about the receivers, too. It's going to be a battle, man. I mean, it's going to be a real battle. But these teams are so much alike. This is the first time I can remember seeing two teams just so much alike, you know. And both of them are number one in the category. So it's going to be a great matchup, man. It really is.
Yeah, and while we're on the subject of old passing game, we got to talk about the pass defense, and that's the team that's able to get the pressure of the quarterback the best. Now,
right.
We all know the Pittsburgh Steelers and Dick LeBeau, they're going to drop all kind of schemes to try to get to Rodgers as much as they can, from James Harrison to Troy Polamalu coming in. But I think that even the Packers are going to do the same thing with Clay Matthews and A.J. Hawk. They're going to be blitzing them, Charles Woodson. So if you look at the pass rush for both teams, Royce, who do you like in this situation?
Right now, I got to put it dead even. That's my opinion. I can't pick one on that one. It's dead even to me.
Yeah, I mean, dead even is a pretty good way to go. We talk about both of these.
It is.
Two
it's
pass
safe.
Rush defense.
Right.
But, Rick, if you look at both, you got to go dead even, too, I know.
No, I mean, if I have to give you one, I'm going to give you the Pittsburgh Steelers. You know, I think Clay Matthews, you know, for the Green Bay Packers is their best rush option. You know, I think Big Raj, you know, he can rush a little bit, but I think he's there more for stuffing the run. You know, but when it comes to the blitzing, you know, I think the Pittsburgh Steelers, they got too many linebackers, too many, you know, good schemes, and they've always been able to get in there and get at the quarterback. So I have to give it to them.
Yeah. Yeah, I like both of these defenses, man. Like you said, though, Pittsburgh has just been – that team has been relentless on that pass rush for so long. You know Dick LeBeau got something definitely planned for him. So, but, you know, the escapability of both of these quarterbacks is going to be key for both pass rushers.
Right.
You got a guy like Rodgers that, you know, is second to Michael Vick in rushing as far as it comes to quarterbacks rushing the NFL. You got a guy like Big Ben. He's bigger than most of the linebackers on any other team. The hardest quarterback to bring down the NFL. It's going to make a huge dynamic when it comes to the pass rush for both teams. Let's take a quick break real fast, guys. When we come back, we break down the two of the biggest positions on today's game at 5:30. That's going to be the quarterback and the coaches. So we'll talk about them. You're listening to the RF Sports Radio Show, where it's sports talk from a fan's perspective.
What's up out there with it, world?
What's up with
it? It's your boy, Chosen. Man, and I'm back in the building, you dig? And for all of y'all that haven't already done it, you know what I'm saying? Go out there and join IcebreakerProductions.com right now. Support your favorite ICE artist right now. You know what I'm saying? Get a ringtone. Get a t-shirt. Buy the calendar right now. Or you can even pick up a teddy bear. You know what I'm talking about? We got everything.
Got everything.
Every Wednesday, y'all need to be checking out the Icebreaker Radio Show at 7 p.m. Central Standard Time.
7 p.m.
When you hear it, IcebreakerProductions.com.
Already.
You know what I'm saying? Scroll down about the middle of the page and click on the player, and you got us. You know what I'm saying? And if that ain't working for you, hop on iTunes and listen to us on the podcast. I ain't tripping. You know, you can get us on anywhere. And if you really want to know what's going down at all times with Icebreaker Productions, you got to follow us on Twitter at Icebreaker Radio. And if you're a Facebook lover, hit us up, Icebreaker Productions. You know what to do. And for all of y'all that like them live, fresh videos, you know you can follow us on the YouTube channel, Chosen972.
Right
now. If you're feeling the old school and, you know what I'm saying, you still on MySpace, hit us up, 972. We ain't tripping. And without further ado, we're going to go ahead and hop into this album, the reason that you're hearing my voice.
Uh-huh.
You like one of these artists, you know what I'm saying? So get your jam on, get your lean on.
Yeah.
And I'll be back at you later on in the future with more ICE announcements. Already.
Hi, this is Pastor Monica Wallace. I want to personally invite you to Kingdom Encounter every Sunday at 5 p.m. Central Standard Time on Blog Talk Radio. That's blogtalkradio.com/Kingdom Encounter each and every Sunday at 5 p.m. Hear what the Kingdom has to offer you and have your own encounter. That's blogtalkradio.com/Kingdom Encounter. Sundays at 5 p.m. Central Standard Time with me, Pastor Monica Wallace, and may God bless you.
This is RF with the RF Sports Radio Show. I'm here live with my good friend, CEO and creator of LawApps.com, Jared Rice. Why don't you let everyone know exactly what LawApps.com is?
It's a mobilized version of an attorney.
attorney's regular website so that people can access the site on mobile phones, like smartphones, whether it be HTC, iPhone, Android, BlackBerry, or Palm, or any Windows-based system.
So why does an attorney need LawApps.com?
Well, if you have a regular website and people are pulling it up on their mobile phone, obviously they can't see it. So if you don't have a mobilized version of your site, you're missing out on millions of customers. And, you know, for business, that's not a good thing, especially in 2011.
So what's the best way for people to get in contact with LawApps.com?
Go to our website at lawapps.com, and apps is spelled with a Z on the end, not an S. Or they can give us a call at our toll-free number, 1-888-974-6784. That's 1-888-974-6784.
And it's lawapps.com, LAWAPPZ.com. Get your law firm out of the dark ages.
Oh, yeah, the wait is finally over. The new release from Rifleman, Smoke in the City, available now. Album features Blow Fly, Mayhem, Kenfo Jack, and the Grit Boys, with many, many other. Also features production from super producer none other than Big Chris. Available now in all of your favorite online retailers, iTunes, Amazon, Napster, Rhapsody, 7 Digital, eMusic, and every other major online retailer that you can think of. Don't wait, go pick up Smoke in the City now. It's
And we are back live on the RF Sports Radio Show. We're breaking down the Super Bowl. If you guys are listening to us live, make sure you call us at 323-927-2906. Stay in contact with the show at rfsportsradio.com. If you want to join our chat room, go to blogtalkradio.com/rfsports and follow us on Twitter at twitter.com/RF Sports Radio, and you can always email the show at rfsportsradio@gmail.com. And we're on Monday through Friday, 5 days a week at 10 p.m. Central Standard Time. So everyone listening from out of town, we thank you for tuning in to us in our preview show for Super Bowl XLV. And make sure you stay in contact with our show at all times. We'd love to hear from you guys. All right, let me bring my people back on, my co-hosts here, Royce and Rick, as we get into more of the Super Bowl talk. We talk about two of the biggest positions. The two positions are going to have the most amount of pressure, the most amount of nerves going on. It's going to be the quarterback and the head coach. Let's start with the quarterback first. Ben Roethlisberger, Big Ben, started out the season on the suspended for 4 games after an off-season incident at a bar with a young lady. We won't get into too many details about that, but he came back after 4 games. The Steelers went 3-1 during that series, and now they're in the Super Bowl. So it's a matter of redemption for Big Ben in some sense of the word. He's trying to mend his relationship with the whole Steelers Nation. A lot of people don't like what he did in the offseason, the way he carries himself. He's kind of made a wholesale change, and now he's back into the Super Bowl. But this is his third time in 7 seasons going to the Super Bowl. He's got a perfect record. He's won both times he went before. So, Royce, talk a little bit about your thoughts about Big Ben as a quarterback. He hasn't always played well in the Super Bowl, but he's been that guy to make that last throw that needs to be made to win. And he's actually won, even though he's had a pretty bad passer rating.
Well, a sign of a good quarterback is finding a way to win. And I got to give it to Ben. He's always found a way to win. And I look for the same thing today. He plays Steeler football. Steeler football is just what it is. They're not going to change who they are. And Ben, you know, by being there for the third time and having won two, I got to give the nod to Ben. But you're talking about quarterbacks. These both guys both can throw on the run. Both of them have big arms. I think it comes down to whoever makes the less turnovers will probably win this game.
Man, Rick, if you look at just Big Ben and what he's been able to do this season, coming back after being suspended and having these games and having his team, quarterbacking his team, to another Super Bowl appearance, I mean, how big is that?
I mean, it's huge. It's huge for Big Ben, you know, and you got to give him credit. You know, I think Big Ben, I think he'll be able to go out there and make some good plays. You know, he's got escapability, like you mentioned before. You know, he's a defensive end playing quarterback, you know, so he's really, really hard to bring down. You know, right. So I would have to lean towards Big Ben just because of the experience factor. You know, both quarterbacks gonna have pressure on them. But most of the pressure is going to be on Aaron Rodgers, you know, because
right.
the one thing Big Ben can say is I've done this before. You
yeah,
know,
right.
I've been here, I've won some. He could turn around and say that to the fans and the rest of the NFL. At least I won one. At least I won two.
Yeah.
And Aaron Rodgers can't
right.
say that. You know what I mean?
Right.
So all the pressure is on Aaron Rodgers.
Well, you're absolutely correct. I mean, the thing with Big Ben is I don't think he has to play well for them to win. Unlike
right.
Aaron Rodgers, I think he's got to have an awesome day for them to actually win the game. But I don't think Big Ben has to play well to win. If you think about the AFC Championship game, he had a 30 quarterback rating when they won that game, a hard-fought game
right.
against the Jets.
Right.
Then when
right.
he won the Super Bowl, his last Super Bowl had a 27 quarterback rating, and they still won. He still made that great throw Santonio Holmes, that great throw at the end of the game to win it. So he's that guy that can always count on to make that big play. He's done it. He's been there. But that can mean he's kind of relaxed as well, too, in the same respect. He's not as amped up as he was before. He's got a lot to prove on and off the field, and they could be weighing heavily on him. But he, like you said, he doesn't have to play well to really win the game. But if he does win this game, that's three Super Bowl rings in 7 years. I mean, the guy went to the AFC Championship game as a rookie. He won the next year after that. I mean, talk about Big Ben for a second, his place in NFL history, Royce. I mean, is he going to be, you know, could he be considered one of the greatest of all times? I know he's playing in the shadow of Terry Bradshaw. But think about what he's done in the short amount of time he's been there. He's got a long way to go.
Well, you know, you're absolutely right. He has the, you know, most quarterbacks don't make it to their third Super Bowl. But I think it's off the field, outside the field. Annex that really has caused him to be such a great player, you know, because people don't, they may forget, but they don't forget, you know, and I think that's hanging over him until he get out from under his off the field annex, that he won't be considered one of the greatest quarterbacks. But at the same time, the guy has been a proven guy. He has thrown big plays, and I think all the pressure's on Aaron Rodgers. He's got to live up to the Green Bay mystique, Brett Favre. You know, he's always played in his shadows, and until he wins a Super Bowl, I don't think he'll ever be able to shine as one of the greatest, you know, quarterbacks, no matter what his numbers are. I think he has to win a Super Bowl to redeem himself for the Green Bay franchise and to get out from under Bart.
Brett.
No, I'm talking about. Right.
Brett Favre.
Yeah. Brett Favre's shadow.
Well, I mean, even Brett Favre, Bart Starr. You know, that was my next question when it comes to Aaron Rodgers and both Big Ben. Which one has the biggest shadow to play under, Rick? Is it Aaron Rodgers with,
Aaron
you know,
Rodgers.
The fans and Brett Favre and him retiring now? So much talk about him coming back to retire as a Packer and being part of the organization. And even they asked Rodgers during media day, hey, have you talked to Brett? And said, no, I haven't spoken with him. We haven't had any conversations whatsoever. The back and forth is going on in the media between Ben Roethlisberger and Terry Bradshaw. They don't like each other. He's playing under his shadow and the shadow of the whole steel curtain, the whole mystique of the Steelers. Well, Rick, who's playing under the biggest shadow out of both of these two quarterbacks?
In my mind, it's Aaron Rodgers, without question. I mean, it's way too much history that goes along with both the Pittsburgh Steelers and the Packers.
Right.
But I think the Packers, as far as the quarterback position is concerned, it's way too much history there, you know, and they pretty much have quarterbacks that get there. They stay in place for years and years and years.
Right.
They put up big numbers. They win games. You know, I think Aaron Rodgers has got – he's got way more to look up to.
Mm.
Now, that's not to take anything away from Terry Bradshaw, you know, but one thing I can say about Terry Bradshaw and about Ben Roethlisberger, they've always been recipients of having a good defense and a good running game, you know,
yeah.
So they don't have to go out there and do much. They've always played on good teams, period. They've always been on good teams.
Yeah, and I think you're right. I think the biggest shadow is for Aaron Rodgers to play under because, number one, Rodgers doesn't have a Super Bowl ring. I mean, Ben has two. So he's kind of got his own thing already established. He doesn't have anything. And if he loses this game today, I mean, of course, you can already hear, you know, the people in Green Bay, what's going to happen, the other Packer Nation, how they're going to feel, especially if he plays poorly and they lose. So, I mean, he's got the biggest shadow to really play up under. But I think Rodgers can do it. I mean, Rodgers so far in the playoffs has been the better of the two quarterbacks. If you look at the numbers, you know, passing and being able to pull this team for wins. I mean, they had a big win against Atlanta. They won in Chicago. I mean, all their wins have been on the road at the same respect. So he's actually played a lot better than Ben in the game. I got to give the nod to him. I like the way he's playing. I know he's hot right now. But a lot of times a quarterback has got to be hot for him to win the game. I think he's one of the hottest ones right now. You know, he is the hottest one right now. He's in the Super Bowl.
Got better weapons,
right,
too.
Yeah, he got better
right,
weapons from the same respect.
And and in the playoffs, he really has outplayed Big Ben. But at the same time, the Pittsburgh Steelers have to rely on their defense to win more so than their offense, where it's just up to the Green Bay. You know, he can win just on offense with ordinary defense.
Yeah. Well, it's going to be interesting to see. I mean, those two guys right there got the most amount of pressure. And of the two, would you guys give Big Ben the nod to handle the pressure the best?
Oh, yeah. Without question. You saw how they blew up that situation with him out there partying. You saw him, he was kicking it, wasn't he? He was out there kicking
it.
Big Ben ain't worried about nothing. He know he's going to look. He's been there. It's not a big deal to him.
All right.
Yeah. That is true. And let's jump to the coaches here. I mean, Mike Tomlin has got one ring already with Big Ben. He's back. He's one of those coaches. He's kind of like a player's coach. He's right in there with them, trying to fire them up and get them all ready to go. Then you got a guy like Mike McCarthy, who's took a lot of heat from not just the NFL, but Green Bay fans in general about the way he handled Brett Favre. And here he is. He's got his team in the playoffs, through the playoffs and in the Super Bowl. So he's done a great job this season. But if you look at both of these coaches, I mean, they both have two kind of different styles. Mike McCarthy's real quiet, more of a coach, X's and O's type of guy. And then Mike Tomlin's one of those guys that really kind of has that fire in him to kind of, you know, amp the players up a lot more on the sidelines and getting in their face, more so than Mike McCarthy does. But if you had to look at both players and both coaches and both coaches' styles, Royce, who do you have to give the nod to there?
Oh, Mike Tomlin. McCartney would have to out-coach Tomlin today to win the game, whereas Mike Tomlin can play just still a football and win the game. But I got to get a nod to Mike Tomlin. He's been there. He's shown he can coach. And in this type of situation, he's proven that they won. But he has to – McCartney has to out-coach him today to win the game.
Gotcha.
Mm-hmm. And Ricky, feel the same way?
I tell you what, though, Mike McCarthy sure looks real smart right now. Even though the way he handled Brett Favre, you know, he looks real smart right now. Not only is the quarterback, you know, doing the things that he expected, they're in the Super Bowl. You know, so you got to give him a whole lot of credit. But I'd have to lean towards Mike Tomlin. You know, he's not really a loud guy, contrary to what a lot of people believe. You know, he's just a real stern guy. You know what I mean?
True,
and he's X's and O's, but he knows how to get his point across. Plus, his haircut is always fresh.
Yeah,
that's one thing you can't say about old Mike.
He's having the freshest cut in the league.
Oh, he got the Steve Harvey lining down, believe me.
Oh,
he got the Steve Harvey lining down, believe that.
Now,
guys, we come to the end of our show. Now, this is the most important part of our show. Those of y'all that listen to us ever since we started, we always make picks right before the games. And I went back and listened to all of our previous shows, went through all my notes to try to find out who's in the lead at the end of the season, and it's too close to call. It really is. We all kind of dead even right now. So let's make these picks, and the winner of these picks, of course, we're going to have to pick not just the winner, but also the score. So the winner, the one that gets close, will be crowned the king for this NFL season until we get the next season. So you get bragging rights for several months to come. So take your time making these picks. Now, of course, we got to give it to Royce to pick first, only because he's on injured reserve. He's the elder statesman of the show, so I will default to him, let him pick first. Royce, who's your pick for this Super Bowl here in Dallas, and why?
Okay, Rick, like I said at the beginning of the show, I have on yellow socks, black pants, and a green shirt. So, obviously, I don't have a favorite in this game. But I have never, set the record straight, I have never picked Pittsburgh in my life. Going back to being a Dallas Cowboys fan when they played Dallas in the playoffs, I've always wished them to lose. And at the same time, I've never been a Green Bay fan because they also beat Dallas in the playoff game that I watched, and I had my heart broken. So having said that, who I would like to see win would be Green Bay. And now I'm going to go with my pick today. Even though I have the strangest feeling Pittsburgh will pull this off, my sympathy, my heart is leaning more towards Green Bay. So I'm going to pick Green Bay, but I'm dressed for whoever.
So if you're going to pick Green Bay, what score are you going to see them winning by?
And my score is 24-17.
24-17. Okay, now, Rick, it's on you, man. Who you picking and what score you got and why?
Man, make no bones about it. Cowboy fan number one. So I hate both these teams. I hate both of them. I don't like, the pack of fans. I think they're rooting obnoxious,
right,
and they don't give nobody else no credit.
Right.
And the Pittsburgh Steelers, it's too much rivalry going on there. But, I would have to lean towards the Pittsburgh Steelers, as much as I hate to say it. I would have to lean towards them. I think they'll be the team to pull it out, and I give them the experience factor, right now with the collection of the players that they have. I do think it's going to be a pretty good game, and I can't listen to the Packer fans brag on them winning. They can't do it. 24-21, black and yellow, black and yellow, black and yellow.
Wow.
24-21. That's a good score.
So you really don't like me. You really don't care who wins this game. But you play.
Nah, not
more.
At all. Let me tell you
something.
But I got a big old pot of beans with the sausage in it, man. I'm frying up some fish, and I'm going to make some jalapeno and cheddar cheese cornbread. And I'm going to eat good. I ain't worried about that.
Right. I got you, Rick.
Now, if I have to, let me make my pick real quick. I'm going to pick the Packers to win. Only because they are an NFC team, and I can't see the Steelers getting 7 rings, and the boys only have 5.
I hate that too.
So I can't see that happen, especially have them get that ring right there in Cowboys Stadium, the first year of our Super Bowl here, would just be heartbreaking for me and for Cowboy fans around the world.
Right.
I'm going to go ahead and give it to the Packers because I think they're hot. I think they're one of the hottest teams in the NFL. The road they've had to travel to get to Super Bowl has been a lot harder than the Pittsburgh Steelers have to do with 2 home games. And they had to go on the road against some tough teams, so I'm going to give it to them. I like Aaron Rodgers. I like their weapons on offense, and I like the way their defense is playing too. My score is going to be a little bit higher than you guys. I've got 28-24 for my score for the Packers. So, Royce, it's going to come down to score for me and you if the Packers win. And if the Steelers win, Rick, you just win outright, either way it goes. So. So
well, nobody scored higher than 20 points, that's for sure. So it's going to be a pretty close game, right.
Well, I got 28-24. Royce, you got 24-17. And, Rick, you've got the Steelers 24-21. It sounds like going to be a pretty close, entertaining game nonetheless. Now, before we go, Rick, let me ask you something. What has to happen for your team, your pick, the Steelers, to lose?
For them to lose?
Yes.
If their running game is shut down, their chances of winning goes down dramatically. That's what Green Bay is going to have to do to win. If all they got to do is shut their running game down. They don't do that, Pittsburgh's going to win the game.
And, Royce, let me ask you, for the Packers to lose, what has to happen?
No turnovers. You cannot turn the ball over to Pittsburgh. You have to have a turnover-free game. No fumbles, no interceptions. I think they have a chance to win.
I agree with you on that. Well, we want to thank everyone for tuning in to our Super Bowl show. This is Super Bowl XLV preview. Make sure you stay in contact with our show at all times. Go to rfsportsradio.com or blogtalkradio.com/rfsports. We're glad everyone came to the city. Y'all be safe out there. It's going to be partying tonight like it was yesterday. Now the snow and the ice is gone. So everyone have a great time. We're on every day during the week, Monday through Friday, 10 to 11 p.m. Central Standard Time. Follow us on Twitter at twitter.com/RF Sports Radio Show. You guys enjoy the game, and we'll see you guys on Monday where our guest will be Paige Stojankovic on the show talking about the Mavs, hopefully in his debut. And then, of course, we'll review the Super Bowl from the day. You listen to the RF Sports Radio Show, where it's sports talk from a fan's perspective. Enjoy the game.
All right, y'all have a good one, man.